Hello, welcome to the latest episode of Data Unchained. I'm your host, Molly Presley. Let me tell you a little bit about our podcast before we introduce today's guest. The concepts of how the paradigm of data access has changed have really affected every part of industry. In today's decentralized world, getting data to remote workers, distributing data to applications that may be in the cloud or in different data centers, managing multiple clouds, and instruments generating data everywhere has created a pretty massive challenge on the data management and the use of data in this really distributed world. Data Unchained digs into the challenges as well as the solutions that make data an asset that can really be utilized as a global resource. Today's guest is Terry Tremblay, the founder and CEO of Cohesion. Terry, thank you so much for joining our call today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
When you have an accent, so then I feel like I should throw on some extra, flair.
Don't worry. So Terry is fine. And the actual in French, it's Thierry, but Terry, everybody calls him Terry.
I butchered that anyway. So Terry, thank you so much for joining. Can you tell us just a little bit about your background and then what led to the founding of Cohesion?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm actually pretty much a geek at heart. So right out of school, I started consulting as a programmer. I think, my God, when's that? Like 1998. Worked as a programmer for a few years. Then went into consulting with Better Project, and that's where I got my first exposure with data structure, data organization, and so on. And a bit after the year 2000, I started my company to do some consulting and afterwards some software development. Cohesion is over a decade old now, and it came about from our need to provide flexible tools to our clients. So we were seeing the need out there for people to be able to quickly create their own database, access the data securely, and so on. So it started as a very small itty bitty piece of software that grew over a decade to become a low code online database platform that allowed its users to create their own system and use it securely. So that's kind of our spin there. We have two spins where we deal with high security data. So whether it's financial or medical, we have HIPAA compliance, but also compliance with data security is one thing, but being able to cater to those advanced complex needs. And that's where we shine the most, where other platforms will stick to within what they can offer, Cohesion can always be more than its sum. So the way we've organized the system, new workflow, advanced workflows, anything that is very specific and doesn't exist can be implemented in Cohesion. So that's kind of the genesis of where Cohesion is. And of course, it's always evolving with, obviously, we're looking at AI and more security and things like that. So it's been a nice trick, let's call it that for now.
So that makes a lot of sense in the kind of areas that you focus. Can you talk a little bit more about the deployment model? How do people buy it? Where does it run? That type of thing?
Yes, Cohesion is a software as a service model. Okay. So we take care essentially as a software provider, we take care of everything. So the data is everything is hosted in the cloud securely. We take care of the support, the licenses, and everything. So it's either a monthly or yearly fee, and then people sign up. They can create themselves their own system. But for more advanced requirements, clients require or would like to have our help. So we do also offer consulting and services where we will actually implement the whole thing for them. That's especially useful for migration of legacy systems, where there can be a lot of data coming from different silos that needs to be reconciled, cleaned up, and then migrating to the new system, in our case, within Cohesion.
Okay. And so the data sources that folks have today. They would be seeking you out to manage, audit, comply, all the value propositions you're talking about. But how do they get their data and data sources to you or exposed to you?
Well, there's different ways. So depending on the approach, so the first approach is a total migration. So then Cohesion becomes, we like to call it the source of truth, where we just migrate the data from place A into Cohesion in a secured and well-architectured way. But there's also other scenarios where the client is very happy with all its data source, and we still need to interact with it. So then at that point, we call them bridges. We will create a bridge and interact with the data that is outside of our systems. And then there's a series of questions, of course, because you always want to keep the integrity of the data correct. So who's the master of that data? So is it Cohesion, or is it the other place, or is it also, it could be a sink. So we do that on a per case basis, and then people. But what we see a lot is a thinking where I need to have my data in a centralized, safe, secured, and audit way. And I need to ensure that I always have the latest version of that set data. So if we take the simplest of options, let's say people are using Excel for some of it, and I'm sure you know, lots of people use Excel even for pretty sensitive and secure data. So let's say you have Excel, there's nothing, and it always happens. There's four versions of the same data set scattered around an organization. So what's the latest version, or what's the latest version of a specific row of data? Nobody knows. Plus people overriding each other. So you don't have path, and setting up security and access to that data is very difficult. So these are the kind of data management challenges that we face on a day-to-day basis.
And that idea of which is your latest or gold copy of data seems to come up all the time in every context these days, whether it's AI or it's auditability or whatever it is. Maybe you can talk a little bit about, in this world where customers are striving for putting their data to use, they want to use it for some kind of business purpose, and also need to maintain compliance and security. Do you have kind of a recipe book, like certain policies you can set in your software that say, okay, if you need HIPAA, then you just tick this box and you'll be HIPAA compliant? Or is it kind of done on a customer by customer basis on how you apply the policies for their compliance?
So depending on the cloud compliance, HIPAA is a great example because we have a lot of those. HIPAA is a set of rules that a company has to follow, and those rules are both technical and, let's call them, human resources, things you have to do on site, how you manage the data, and how do you store and audit the data, which is the software side. So for us, it's just like signing up for a HIPAA compliant account, and it's that easy. And then Cohesion automatically adapts to the fact that it's HIPAA, and then it starts to kick in all the auditing and the versioning. Actually, we go a bit further than HIPAA. So we audit every change to every record, by whom, who viewed what, when, and also keep versions of each record. So let's say you have a record that was saved 15 times in a day, then you can see those 15 versions. How did that record looked when it was saved? So that it's very helpful for the user, and it also helps with HIPAA compliance. The ability also, what's important, it's easy to say that you're HIPAA, but it's not that easy to prove that you're HIPAA, because that's what happens when you're audited. Auditors, well, they want to see proof. Being able to easily show audits and logs and things of that nature to an auditor is also very important. So, and then Cohesion also takes care of that. And we just came out with how do we call this? You can now set security at the data field level, which allows you to set permission per field type. So you could say, okay, this is a general public field. So it could be like, I don't know, an email or a phone number. But then the social security number could be a top secret field. And then all top secret fields are guaranteed to never go out of the software. Even let's say you could not even do an Excel export or run a report on those fields, they're locked in. And all these category of fields, again, this is all audited and logged. So when an auditor comes in, you can say, okay, this is the list of fields that I have. And these are all the security rules I have for these types of fields. So it makes the auditing much easier when a security usually audits will happen after a breach. So it takes a little bit out of the stress of managing these things.
So this is probably a little off topic what we plan to talk about. I'm curious though. So this whole idea of how do you load your data into an AI model and make sure only the data you want is loaded or used. It sounds like you would have a great tool. That whole idea of maybe you want to load data, but only things that are medium and below security. The top security stuff wouldn't go to the AI, but the low security stuff would. It's, a different reason maybe than why you initially built it that way, but it seems like that could help an organization protect themselves from inadvertently putting data out there they don't want to.
That is a great point, actually. Yes. So making sure that ensuring that your secret data stays secret, since we all know that it's not guaranteed that data that you send to the AI is nobody really knows how it's used, or anyway, there's concerns that where it goes. So that definitively for organizations that want to send out data to be as a training model, then they could export only specific layers or specific category of data out of the system, ensuring that those either medical or financial data are not sent out. So that that would be a great use case actually. So
Yeah,
yeah,
it
well,
sounds like
thank
it.
you.
That's cool.
I'll take a note of that.
So going back to the topic we were talking about though on auditing, I love the idea that you're not just helping them, your customers to prepare for compliance, but to help them with audits. How complex is that usually? I mean, are you taking a process where, it's like your tax audit and you have to come up with every receipt from forever and it is manual and very difficult to prove to just being a simple report? Is it similar, but in the business world?
It's we try to make it easier, as easy as possible. So then, yes, you can pull a report, or we can help you pull a report that is custom for that specific question. Because sometimes it's, in
I
our
see.
experience, when you get there, it's never a simple question that needs to be answered. It's always complicated. So the first step is to ensure that the information is there and tracked. So that's really the first level. Once the information is there and available, then we can either, it can be pulled easily via a report, or if it's more advanced, it needs to be grouped and aggregated, then we can also provide that to our clients. But the idea is to, and we spoke with a lot of auditors that do this frequently, and to ask them, okay, what when you run an audit? So actually we did we took this from the invert point of view, where we went from the point of view of the auditor, what does an auditor want, and how can we provide the auditor? So we worked as if the auditor was our client. So when this happens, the auditor feels like the person is prepared, and the data can be sent easily. So what does an editor want? They just want a report. They want a proof. They want to be able to provide that certain steps were taken, or certain things happened, or certain things did not happen. That the opposite works as well.
Interesting. And in the event of a breach, maybe it's a ransomware, maybe it's intentional, whatever the breach may be, what is your role there? Do you alert when you see strange behavior? Are you helping a business recover when they've been breached somewhere else? Maybe talk just a little bit more about kind of where do you sit in that process and how do you help an organization recover?
So when there's a breach, so essentially we are, so Cohesion is the system that manages the data. So we, so in HIPAA terms, we're a data processor. So we process the data and then we provide tools to help. So if there's a data breach, of course, the victim of the breach, they have their own processes to tell other people, their clients, that there has been a breach. If it's a breach on our side, we also have, in our terms of service, we will let people, our clients, know that a breach has happened and then follow the steps. But how do we prevent breaches and so on? So there's a whole slew of technical approaches that most people will know about, and I don't want to get into too much detail for
Sure,
security purposes,
of course.
obviously. But the single, and I had that conversation yesterday, the single most, the greatest reason why people will have data breach is because of us humans, right? So how do we mitigate the human factor to keep the data secure? So in our approach, not Cohesion is not a huge company, so we're a smaller company, so we can restrict to a maximum who has access to what, and we know exactly who can access what when. So having a very, very, very minimal footprint to the actual data makes it helps us manage the human factor in security. So that's one big thing that people might understate. Or bigger companies have a big, have, it's a big challenge dealing with security of the people, because people will take a thumb drive or take a picture of their screen, and they, by definition, they will try different things. So that's one thing that we take very seriously. And like I said, on the technical side, like from firewalls, and if anything weird happens, we're very quick. Even if someone, as an example, if you try too many times a page that doesn't exist on our website, you might see that you'll get banned pretty quickly. So we're very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very severe in our in our security.
So I read, we're in slightly different spaces in our professional work, but I was reading an article this morning that was a report titled "The Urgent Need for Unified Storage," and it was talking about it was a research report performed by NetApp, and they were talking about the importance of unifying data sources and data sets as quickly as possible. I mean, sure, to take advantage of AI and some of the fun things out there, but it's really more focused on security and not having these fragmented data sets with rules that aren't applying to every copy, every version, every data set. It seems to me when you were talking earlier about can you synchronize data sets that are elsewhere versus putting the data set in Cohesion, would you recommend the unifying and putting everything in Cohesion so you're not dealing with those complex processes of syncing? And I'm thinking more that does that introduce concerns on all the other issues of compliance and breach and things like that? What do you recommend?
Well, what do we recommend? So obviously, we always would prefer to have a unified data set, because that's the ultimate approach to managing security the most efficient way. But life gets in the way, right? So if let's say if a company is very, very happy with a system that has its data and it doesn't really want to migrate, it makes no financial sense, because we're a company is there to be efficient. If it doesn't make sense, its first instinct will say, okay, well, we would prefer to sync. So the answer is yes and no. Yes, of course, in an ideal world, it would make sense to unify all the data. And that's what we strive for, but sometimes it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't make sense right away to do this. So we'll have some clients where, okay, we'll do an integration, and then slowly, okay, a year or 2 years later down the line, it makes sense to reconciliate all that data under one roof. But in most times, it would be a mistake to just do a huge migration all into a single system without making sure that all the efficiencies are not lost. So it's a yes and no and almost maybe
Depending what
type
you're
of
solving
question.
for.
It
Correct, yeah.
really depends. Like I have a client in mind. He has a very they have a very advanced logic that really works well for them. It really does. So we work with him to use that logic, but integrate with Cohesion. So he has the best of both worlds currently. So that doesn't mean that in 2 years he's going to say, okay, and I think that's his plan actually, that in 2 years he's going to move everything over. But right now, the most efficient way to do this is to do an hybrid model. But then again, yes, there it raises a bit more. No, it doesn't raise any security flags. It's just a bit more complex as long as you're aware of the situation. So the first step is being aware. So it's it there's no bad or wrong answer. If you start from scratch, of course, it's always let's take this from the other side. So the bad thing to do is, let's say it's a new company that starts with new systems. And instead of trying to keep all the data under the same roof, every time there's a new need, they go to the newest, shiniest new system out there that is another system. So within 6 months, they could have eight different systems that don't talk to each other, all with different security concerns, and the data even could be in different location on the planet. So that's something that should not be done, is when you expand, try to expand within the same system. And then the follow-up question to this, okay, so which system do I choose when I start a new project? Should I start a system that's able to adapt and grow with my company's needs? Or do I want to have a multitude of little systems? So obviously, in our case, we prefer, and that's one of the backbone of Cohesion is its ability to grow and adapt. So you really want a system that will be able to quickly adapt to your changing business needs and grow. And it's kind of a It's almost like a marriage, right? Assist a software provider and a business. You have to be there to help with the growing changes, the changes of the business, and be more efficient. So that's one of we actually really like doing these things.
Yeah, one of the reasons I was excited when you came up as a guest on the show is I really, across industries, use cases, this trend of consolidating data sets has become so common. And, whether it's DevOps folks not spinning up their own little Kubernetes environment or data engineers having their own data sets that they're working on in their own environments, I think we've all across industries realized that there's business efficiencies to consolidating your data sets and your data sources and the tools. There's security advantages. And now we're kind of moving into this world that we all keep talking about with AI, that making your data more available, knowing what data you have and making it more available to things like AI models, probably is going to unlock information that we don't even know we have. So it seems like everyone's moving towards this consolidation, and you offer a great solution for that.
Yeah, and another component to this is if you have a central repository of your data and it's dealing with external resources also. So a lot of efficiencies can be gained when you use your data with people outside of your organization. And then security and levels of security and categories of data becomes even more important, but the gain is very high. So let's say you have a client and a client has to provide you with information. So the client provides you an initial set of data about himself. And then, oh, you require this report, you require this answer, you require this, you require that. You don't want to do that through email. So first of all, it's not necessarily secure. And it's definitely not efficient. So you want to communicate and give away to that client to provide the information. So it's and we have ways of doing that. So then the client goes in, puts in information, and it becomes a two-way street, because you can also put information for the client to visualize. So let's say let's call this a case. So the client submits a case, submits information, requests information from the client provides information, and then the company can provide feedback to the client, and then the client can self-serve to see the status. So you gain efficiencies in communication, but you also gain efficiencies in support, where the person can go and say, oh, okay, what's the status of my case? Or should I be providing something? Should I ask questions and things of that nature? So dealing with external entities is also a nice way to create efficiency. So it could be a lender talking with lawyers or escrow agent. It could be a doctor with his patient. Anything like that is possible, but you need to have the platform that can set those security levels correctly.
Yep, set those security levels and consolidate them to a single location. That makes a lot of sense. We didn't talk a lot about this, but I do think it's worth touching on a little bit more deeply. So once a customer is on Cohesion and they've, set up their compliance rules and their access rules and all those bits, how do you protect the data? Is the data backup and disaster recovery part of your service? Do they go kind of manage that themselves? How does that part work?
So we manage all of that for our clients, even from the smallest to the enterprise, with varying degree of granularity. But obviously the data is constantly, it's backed up and kept and always encrypted. So the data is always safe and always available. And we can even cater to custom backup schedule or access for our enterprise clients. So that's how we protect the data. The data also is always encrypted. The backups are encrypted. And what's also very important and people don't always think about is, where is my data? So we can confirm, we can promise and to on the location of the data. So let's say someone needs all the data to always be in the US. So that means the database is in the US, and the backup about the backups for that database are also in the US, which is a question that is not often asked. Is people will ask, where is my data hosted on the database? But then backups might go in a totally different territory, which might not be compliant for their specific needs. So we ensure that we know and we can confirm where everything is. And on top of that, of course, there's all the classic stuff for protecting the access, the back-end access to the data, which is very stringent.
Do you do a lot of work in Europe dealing with GDPR rules and things like that? Or are you mostly
Well, when GDPR went into effect, there was a lot of interest. So so we did a bit of work and creating implementing servers in the EU. At the time, that was the easiest way to get compliance, is to get a server over there and have the data over there. So we did quite a bit of work with the GDPR on that side of things.
Makes sense. So as we wrap up, I do want to mention to folks on this call, if you're looking for the best practices or the pitfalls to look at in your own organization as you're working on this, data management, data consolidation, and data protection for your databases, Cohesion has put together a really nice little paper that you can download. We'll put it in the show notes, but it's called Unlock the Power of Data Management: Excellence to Avoid Common Pitfalls. And I like the title, how do we avoid pitfalls to start with instead of recover from them after they've happened? So anything you can do to future-proof your architecture, I think, is great. And then certainly, Terry, how do they get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more about your service and software?
Yeah, so you can just go directly on our website at cohesion.com. So I'll spell it because it's a special spelling. So it's K-O-H-E zion.com, so cohesion.com, and just use the contact us form. If you have any questions or you want to discuss anything we talked about today, I'm always happy to discuss security. And also, one thing I like to tell people is put us to the challenge. So if you have a challenge, whether it's security, data structure, or anything, just contact us, and we'll be very happy to help you if you can. If we can, if we cannot, we'll let you know. But usually, we can be helpful.
So bring Terry your hardest problems. It sounds like they're up to the task.
Yeah, that's kind of what we strive for. Is we're kind of a bring it on attitude, and that's what we like to do.
Okay, great. Well, Terry, thank you for joining. I know you're on holiday right now, and so it's even extra special to have you here from your vacation. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure as well. And yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Data Unchained, powered by Hammerspace. To learn more, visit hammerspace.com. If you have a guest you would like to hear on the show, email me at molly@hammerspace.com.